episodes. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the How to Do Drugs podcast. I am your host, Aaliyah Janine, live, well, not for you, but live for me in Austin, Texas. And today I have Lucas Hinterleiter.
Hi, I'm Lucas. I'm also in Texas.
He's also in Texas. Hitler's dream right here, everybody.
What is that? I don't like that.
You don't like Hitler's dream? I thought it was kind of funny.
So my name's Hinterleiter.
Yeah.
And I have a joke about people calling me, because people used to just, they didn't know how to pronounce my name, so they just call me Lucas Hitler.
Okay, yeah, no, that's a little.
I actually grew my hair out because I got called a Nazi too many times.
Is that why
you? I used to buzz it, you know.
Oh, you were a very clean cut young man when I first met you.
Yeah, no, pandemic, I just started buzzing it, and then I did a Zoom show, and all the audience members were like, wow, I didn't know they let Nazis do comedy.
Well, the thing is that you're blonde. You're like
is he blonde?
It's kind of like a strawberry blonde.
Called a redhead.
Yeah, you're a little bit of a strawberry blonde. You got blue eyes, and your last name's Hinterleiter. All those things, people's brains automatically categorize you as Hitler's.
I am the master race.
Yeah. Maturity rules. Is that what they say?
Yeah.
For a little while longer, at least, it may end fairly soon if people keep reproducing. Here in Texas, they have they have one of the strictest abortion laws here in Texas, to the point where I think it took in place last May, and there have already been 26,000 babies born from rape, incest, and just women not having access.
Sounds like a good time.
Oh,
okay. No, I had to get an abortion 3 months ago, so I'm glad I was
in New York.
I was in Illinois.
Illinois.
Yeah, not here. That was my first one, though.
Yeah, for
sorry, guys.
No, it's because a lot of people never hear the dude's point of view from that.
Oh, it was not great. Wasn't awesome.
Yeah.
So it was a waitress at a comedy club in Peoria, and we weren't dating. We just hooked up, and I got her pregnant, and we had a conversation beforehand because I knew she wasn't on the pill.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, if anything does happen, we're on board with what we're going to do, right? And she was like, yeah, totally. I'm liberal.
Liberal, okay, yeah.
Get an abortion. And it came down to it, and we go to Planned Parenthood. She gets an ultrasound, and the nurse is like, oh, congratulations on twins. And
so it was like a double homicide.
Shut up, because now the girl's sitting there. She's like, I always wanted twins.
Oh, no.
And it's her body, her choice.
Yeah.
So she's like, I got to think about this. So the next 2 weeks was terrible.
A little brutal. Yeah. Because that's life changing.
She made the right choice.
She made the Honestly, yes. It is, depending on the age, how old was she?
30.
30? Okay. Yeah. No. Oh, wow. So you lucked out, to be honest, because a lot of women's brains are just like, must reproduce.
Yeah.
And you're Hitler's dream, you're tall and shit.
Yeah, and I gotta be careful of I just had to.
Do you know what condoms are, Lucas?
I haven't used those since fucking high school. I just had to be careful about how I approached it,
Yeah.
But it is, at the end of the day, it was her choice.
Yeah.
So I tried not to, I told her what I would prefer.
Yeah, obviously, which is fair, it didn't help a little bit.
Yeah. Nah, we got through it. This is about drugs, right?
Yeah. Sorry. We got real deep. We go all over the place here on how to do drugs. So we actually met in New York.
Yeah.
Years ago, you used to come to my mic, and then I had you on one of my shows.
At the Creek in the Cave.
And then we just got reintroduced basically last week.
Yeah, it was very weird.
At an open mic. I was sitting at the bar at this random bar open mic, and I heard this comic talk to the host, be like, oh, I'm from Illinois, but I performed in New York. And I looked at him. I'm like, I don't fucking know who you are.
I'm pretty sure I recognize you immediately. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's a
I do stick out in the store.
It'd been a while.
Yeah. My hair is longer. I don't have bangs anymore. And you grew your hair out. You have facial hair. Yeah.
On like 50 pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. We did not. We do not look the same. And it's been like 5 years or whatever. But you also just moved down to Austin. You
2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. What made you choose Austin?
Well, I had to leave New York because I had a problem with drugs.
Okay.
It's fitting for the podcast.
Yeah.
It was just too easy to get. I had a delivery guy.
Had a delivery?
He would cut, no matter where I was in the city, he was 15 minutes away.
Jade?
I'm not going to say names here, but it was just too easy to get, and I was making a lot of money selling motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was just a culmination of too much money and...
Too much access.
Too much access, yeah. So... It got to the point where, like, I was making like $5,000 checks a week, but I was homeless because I couldn't control my partying.
Oh, wow.
So I was like couch surfing with a bunch. Yeah, it was weird. So I decided I went back home to Illinois, where I'm from, for like a year to get
sober-ish.
I still drink, and you know, it's not that I'm a drug addict, it's that I'm a good time addict. So
you're in denial.
No, I'm not. So I've always said I'm not addicted to cocaine unless I'm doing cocaine, you know.
That's fair.
So I went to Illinois, rural Illinois, like my hometown's 2,000 people. I moved back in with my dad on the farm.
Nice.
For about a year just to get, like, you know, there's no way to get. If you want drugs there, you get meth, and I'm not into that. So it was a good place to reset, and then... I thought about going back to New York, but I didn't trust myself. So I was like, yeah, fuck it. Let's go to Austin.
Yeah. Have you been here before?
I have. Not for comedy, though. From the MotoGP.
Okay.
The races they had, the motorcycle race.
The races. I don't know if I asked you on Tuesday. Have you ever gone to any of, like, the bike weeks, like Sturgis and
Daytona? I've performed at Sturgis before, yeah. I've gone to Sturgis, and then anytime there's a MotoGP, like they used to have it in Indy, now they have it in Austin, I would go to those. I used to run a motorcycle-centric show in New York. It was pretty... hot show. I would run it out of the Triumph dealership I was working at.
That's and cool.
They would provide, like, they would pay the comics for me, and it was free beer, so I'd pack that place out, like, 100 people.
Oh my god, yeah, free beer?
Yeah, in a motorcycle dealership, and we had plans to take that, like, to motorcycle rallies, but, you know, drugs got
in the way. Well, I mean, you go and start it back up.
Yeah, I think it's a better place.
Yeah. Growing up around a lot of bikers, yeah, there's drugs in that scene as well. And comedy is, especially in New York. When I moved there, I definitely started, especially over the pandemic.
You do it so casually there.
We had delivery people, and it's, yeah. That's just the city, though. Everything is so accessible
I'm not a casual guy when it comes to drugs. Like, either I'm doing drugs or I'm not doing drugs. Like, that's how it is. And I can go a while without doing them, but once we're doing them, then we're doing them.
It's binging, basically.
Sure, I don't like that word.
You don't like it? That's how I am. I will... Like, especially with drinking or even cocaine, I also have a problem with that. But now I got a prescription for Adderall because I have 80.
We're gonna have to talk after this. Actually, so the night we reconnected, when was that, last week?
Tuesday, yeah.
I got so drunk. I don't think you could. Could you tell how drunk I was?
I ended up staying there longer till the bar closed.
Yeah. I had to get out of there because I was drunk. And I blame it partially on you. I hadn't seen you. And then I was like, fuck it. We'll get shots. But that was my first time being, like, drunk in a while.
Yeah. I drove home, which probably was not a smart thing.
My roommate is sober, so I always have a DD on.
Which is nice. Yeah. Lucky motherfucker. Yeah, I've been very careful, but there, remember I told you I may be able to hook you up with a guy? Well, that guy is enamored with me. Like, he just puppy dog. It's very funny, so I may have ruined that connection.
Oh man. I remember the guy who, there was a guy there that night. I don't know. It was funny. He just kept trying to interrupt our conversation to hit on you. Do you remember that guy with the long hair and the hat?
No.
Oh, maybe you weren't paying attention as much as I was. But
no, I have very good blockers at men looking at me because they do it a lot.
Because your tits.
Yeah. So I just learned, unless it's like real aggressive and I feel like threatened in some way where I'm like, oh, do I need to get one of my multiple weapons?
Oh.
I'm always very cautious of that. No, but I'll block a lot of those people out. Try this one. So
I'm supposed to be been.
Oh, yeah. I made.
I don't really like it that much. But.
Well, you can't get good weed here.
No, so I.
Oh,
you do like it. I stopped. I was in Illinois where it's legal, and right before I drove down here, I stopped and bought like five of those. So.
Yeah, I have.
I knew it would be hard to get.
Well, when I first moved down here, I within the first like 2 days, I had a weed delivery service before I even knew where the grocery store
that
was.
That thing isn't real weed, like.
I don't feel that it is. I feel like it's this Delta 9 stuff. This woman, I went to, they had like a little like food truck kind of thing, but it was for weed.
Yeah.
And she tried to explain all this stuff, but I just disassociated because I'm just like, it's not real.
No. So when I first moved to New York, they had those trucks. They go down to Times Square.
Yeah.
My buddy Nathan, he was like, dude, I just bought weed off this truck. I'm like, there's no way that's
it's not real weed.
CBD weed.
Yeah. And it's not, I've gotten high. I call it the Chinese food of weed, as I told you earlier, because I'll smoke it. I'll be high for maybe like 10, 15 minutes, and then I'll have to go and smoke more.
That's not how weed works.
That's not exactly. And it would give me a headache. Like, it would give me migraines. And I'm just like, so now I have a delivery service. I'm back, you know, to my original drug dealer, the United States Postal Service. And I just get my shit from New York.
Yeah.
It's just, it's safer. It's medication. I literally use it.
I just got back into weed.
Yeah.
After I left New York, I didn't smoke a whole lot when I was partying. It gave me anxiety.
Well, yeah, that much cocaine and weed tends to give a lot of people anxiety.
So I stopped for like 2 years smoking weed. And then when I got back to Illinois, I didn't have anything else to do. So.
Yeah. But I mean, it does help. It does help out a lot.
Yeah, I get anxiety. But
maybe it's the kind that you smoke. Everyone always says that. Well, if you're smoking sativas, those are more cerebral and those will tend to give you.
I've seen the Doug Benson VCM.
Yeah, you've seen. I have not. But it does affect me. Certain sativas like green crack. There's this weed. There's this strain.
Green crack. I feel like everyone just called everything green crack when I was in high school.
No.
In high school, it was like I got OG Kush and I got green crack. That's what everyone said.
That's what everyone said. Well, this is when I lived in California when I had my medical.
Oh, so they knew.
So that yes. So this shit would make me smoke like crack. I was constantly smoking it. Certain weeds do. Now that I don't smoke as much, like I don't wake and bake, like I can't right. do that shit. Like I smoke maybe one.
The first thing you said to me when I walked in here is I'm too high.
Yeah.
So I think you're lying to me, but
that was the first time I smoked. I also didn't eat anything.
Okay.
It was an indica, so now I'm like starving, and I also take a nap.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
So certain kinds of weed could probably give you more anxiety than others.
Well, I guess I won't find out in Texas. I'll just smoke what they give me.
I also, within the first like 2 weeks of moving here, my friend told me that he could give me a Coke delivery. Although we are closer to Mexico, by the way.
Yeah, I just, I guess the way I look, people think I'm a cop. And so I haven't had much luck finding guys. I found one guy. I went on a little bit of an adventure on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about your adventure.
Well, Juan, my roommate, is sober.
Yeah.
But he still, he doesn't know how to pick up chicks, so he still wants to go to bars. And so he got me to go out, and I'm drinking. And, you know, if I get vibes from people, if I get the right vibe, I'll be like, hey, do you know where I can get any drugs?
Yeah.
And I saw this guy at the bar, and I said, do you know where I can get some? He said, yeah, I do. And it seemed, he answered like too excitedly, and it seemed sketchy. And so I was like, all right, let me get back to you. And then I have like three or four more drinks, and then I see him sitting outside. I'm like, all right, let's get in my car, dude. We're going to your guy. And so South by Southwest was here.
Yeah.
And all the exits on the highways were closed. So I'm like, he's like, well, we can walk. It's a 10-minute walk. I'm like, dude, it's a 4-minute drive. Get in my car.
Yeah.
But all the, I couldn't even get to that side of the freeway because of South by Southwest. So we drove for like 15 minutes back to the bar, parked there, and then had to walk. It was a 10-minute walk, which when you're drunk was terrible. I mean, I lived in New York where
it's a different walk. It's a different type of walk, too. It seems an eternity to get to where walking.
A 10-minute walk in New York is like, oh, fuck yeah, it's only 10 minutes. Let's
yeah, the two block.
Here, yeah, it was like an adventure. So we finally get there. The guy I'm with, I can immediately tell no one likes him. It's a bar right across the street from the Creek in the Cave.
Sidebar. Yeah.
And the guy talks to like two people, and he points at me, and they look at me, and they go, no. Mike, damn, dude. And then we finally get to one dude, and he calls me over, and he's like, are you a cop? I'm like, do I look like a cop? He's like, you're white, aren't you? I'm like, all right, well, we don't have to bring that into this. I'm like, dude, I'm a comedian. And then I've never experienced this before because people don't ask if you're a cop in New York. And he handed me his blunt and he was like, you got to hit this. I'm like, I don't think this proves anything, but I'll hit it.
Yeah.
And then I got drugs, but it took a long time.
It took a long time.
And they weren't very good. I'll say that. It wasn't the greatest.
Well, at least it wasn't cut with fentanyl.
Right, which I've had.
Oh.
Had that in New York.
You've had cocaine cut with fentanyl?
Yeah, I almost died.
Shut up. Let's talk about that. How'd you almost die?
Well, so there's this, I had two or three delivery guys who I would jump between depending on who, where I was.
What time it was.
Where I was. Yeah. So I hit this one guy up who was my newest addition, and he'd usually give me some good stuff in the past, but I hadn't used them a whole lot. And it's like 8 o'clock. I'm in the Lower East Side. I hit him up. He comes through. He gives me two little bags. Luckily, it's like 8 o'clock. I just got off work and I hadn't been drinking. Like, I had one beer at this point. So I go in the bathroom and I take a bump and it burns like bad. And I text him. I'm like, what's up with this shit, man? It burns. He's like, oh, I don't know. No one's complained about it to me yet. So my dumbass, I'm like, well, let's check the other bag.
Are they both the same?
And I took a hit, I took a bump of that, and it didn't burn as much. I'm like, all right, I don't know what I got here. So I go outside, and then I just start hallucinating.
Oh, like, well, I mean, you're literally doing, what did we used to call that? Where you would take, like, heroin and cocaine.
It's like Jedi flipping or something.
Eight ball, speedball, yeah, something,
candy
whatever.
Flipping, I don't know. But the world looks like a cartoon world. And I'm there with a couple friends, these girls that I knew. And I just told them, I got to go outside for a second. And I'm sitting at a table outside, like nodding off. And one of the girls comes up to me. She's like, Lucas, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I'm pretty sure I did fentanyl. I'm pretty sure I'm like, yeah, fucked up right now. She's like, we need to get you to the hospital. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure I just... Her apartment was like two blocks away. I'm like, let's just go to your apartment. I'll take a nap, sleep it off. I'll be good.
Yeah.
She's like, Lucas, I feel like if you go to sleep, you're going to die. And then I blacked out.
Okay.
And then I just blacked out. I come to, and my friend, she's like 110 pounds, tiny. I'm like 250. She's carrying me six blocks to the hospital. She's got my arm around her. I don't know how she's like summoning all the strength in her body because she knows I'm going to die to carry me 6 blocks to the hospital. And I come to for a second. I look around and no one's helping her. There's so many people around.
Yeah.
And I'm obviously dying. Yeah. And they're just letting this little girl.
We don't say shit in New York, yo.
Yeah. They're just letting this little girl carry me to the fucking hospital where they hit me with that Narcan. And that was that. Yeah.
You didn't get in trouble with like the cops for doing because you had also on you.
I ditched the shit. Or she got in my pocket. I don't know. I didn't have it on me. But the doctor came out. He was like, "So what happened? You thought you got coke?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, I was probably fentanyl." So he's like, "All right, but we'll test you just in case." So he gave me a cup. He told me to go to the bathroom. I was so dehydrated at this point. Like my mouth was like a fucking desert.
Your piss was probably like yellow.
I don't know why, but my piss came out like a fucking fire hose and it knocked the cup out of my hand into the toilet. And I'm like, well, fucking, I scooped some piss out of the toilet and handed it to the doctor. And the doctor came back. He was like, "What the fuck did you mean to me?" And he's like, "We got like everything in here." I'm like, "I gotta tell you, man, I dropped the cup in the toilet." And he's like, "Well, we have inconclusive results, but trust me, you did fentanyl."
Fentanyl? Oh my God. I guess I have been very lucky. I'm very grateful. I never bought any that had that. I know a couple of people that have died from it.
Yeah, it was pretty close. That was kind of a wake up call for me.
Yeah. I just
think that a time where I left. Yeah.
No, I mean death is definitely a good
yeah. But now I know what it feels like. You know, if it burns, don't fucking snort it.
Don't, yeah. I mean, it's hard. You could get like testing strips and stuff. A lot of places
door.
I'm like, just let me do it. I've done all of the drugs.
Hey, try your drug.
Like, I'll try it if I die, which is very rare. I've had dudes like try to drug me before and it never affected me.
How disappointed is that? Like, am I wasted fucking $30 on these roofies and this bitch is still standing?
Yeah. Yeah, back in the day. Now, I don't know. Now, I don't know. But, I mean, it's always a good...
I feel like you'd have to be a pro to drug someone these days. Everyone's watching. You know,
yeah.
Everyone's pretty careful about it.
About it. And here...
you gotta get good. Better at drugging.
Please stop. Don't listen to... A lot of the places I go to here, I'm either drinking a beer where it's really hard to, like, try to stick, like, a beer bottle.
Maybe like the Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, of it.
It's a little...
Or a can, or like the nice places I go to, it's normally like wine or a cocktail, and I feel slightly safer at those places.
No one's raping in the wine bar.
There's actually a really cute wine bar down the street from here. That's one thing that I do like about Austin is all like the cool spots for food and like little spots for drinking.
Yeah, I live like 15 minutes from downtown, where it's kind of a shopping mall center.
Oh, so, a little bit burbish.
Yeah, it's not like good local food, so it's like chains there. So if I want good, I mean, it's like a 15-minute drive, but you know,
yeah.
If I want food, I want food.
No, I get it. I haven't seen. I guess the only time I've ever seen. Like an Olive Garden or something like that in New York is if you were in Times Square here, like the shopping malls.
I always wanted to go to the Times Square Applebee's. I never went, but I would see it because it was right next to the train, and I always wanted to go to the Times Square Applebee's.
Why?
Because I like Applebee's, and I wanted to know what Times Square Applebee's was like. There was the Times Square Red Lobster that I suggested as a date to this girl, and she stopped talking. Yeah.
Oh, tell me you're from the Midwest without telling me you're
Red Lobster's great, dude. And the Crab Fest? Oh, don't get me started.
I have not been to a Red Lobster in decades. I mean, you're in New York City. There's places. There's a place like right down the street from Comedy Cellar.
I want to know what I'm getting, and I know I'm getting crab legs at Red Lobster. The most, like, well, I was a regular at this sushi spot in New York, but I did like a good Reuben from the delis. I miss the delis for sure.
I miss the bodegas.
Yeah, the bodegas.
So much. I have a mini mart.
Yeah.
Down the street. That's what it is. It's a mini mart.
I got a 7-Eleven.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not too bad.
Oh, I love 7-Eleven hot dogs. I'm trash. Did I mention I'm trash? I grew up in rural Illinois.
Yeah. No. That's hilarious. I mean, I also grew up in the Midwest, but...
That's right. You're from Wisconsin.
I am from Wisconsin. Yeah. I grew up in the suburbs a little bit. I spent random times. I moved a lot as a child. So it was like city, suburbs, different states, city, suburbs. So I was all over the place.
I was born and raised in Lewistown, Illinois, population 2,000.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, my graduating high school class was 43 people.
43 people.
It was public school, yeah.
Did they have a private school?
No, they did not. No.
One of the towns, like my mom lived in, is this town called Elko, Wisconsin. And they didn't even have a population. It was just unincorporated. That's how few. But they had a grocery store. They had a library. They had a bowling alley.
They had a bowling alley?
They had a motherfucking bowling alley. And that was like the bar. That was the place to hang out. But I went to kindergarten there. And they had kindergarten all the way. Kindergarten?
You said hidden garden.
Kindergarten?
There you go.
How do you say kindergarten?
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten. I do have a thing with, I have a hard time saying some words, so now I'm going to have.
No, you really fucked that one up the first time, but we got
kindergarten through 12th grade, and their sports teams, they had to be bused 3 hours to be able to play football and stuff.
So we had to just bring in kids from the other towns nearby because we didn't have enough kids to fill out a sports team. So there was the Cuba, which was 7 miles away. And I know that doesn't sound very far. Like, why wouldn't that just be the same town? But it's cornfields in between.
Yeah.
So they had a population of like 1,200, and we would bring like 20 of their kids over.
So I say just combine.
So we had we didn't combine schools, just the sports teams. So we could play. So we had a full basketball team and football team.
That's hilarious. Growing up in a high school like that, was it easy to get drugs? I feel like hallucinogenic would be
very fucking hard. It was very annoying. I didn't smoke weed. I smoked weed for the first time when I was 16 because I had some friends who graduated and went to college.
Yeah.
And they brought it back from college with them.
They're like, look at this.
But no, so we used to get the fake shit, that K2, because you could buy that from the smoke shop at the town 30 minutes away.
Okay.
So we would get the older kids to buy that for us, or we would robo-trip. We would drink Robitussin by the bottle and just get fucked up. We couldn't get drugs, man. You couldn't get drugs in my hometown.
A lot of drinking, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we would steal. I mean, everyone's dad had a garage fridge.
Absolutely.
With, you know,
my stepdad, it, like, everyone.
Skunk beer and whatever in it. So, yeah, we would do that. We would pop Dramamine and drink.
We used to snort Excedrin. You know, all of like Nodos and stuff like that. We would chop it up and snort that stuff. Living in the suburbs definitely sucks. Acid, though, was really easy to get. Acid and mushroom.
The first time I got mushrooms, I had to drive to the local college town, which was about 45 minutes away. And I was like 17. I finally had a car. I'm like, we're going to go get mushrooms, me and my buddies. And we just went to like the college area and just asked people on the street. And we got it. We did get some, and it was crazy. Acid, though, I never did acid till I lived in St. Louis.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you remember Nathan. The first time I did acid was with Nathan.
Really? Nathan did acid? That's hilarious. I would love to see Nathan.
He had an acid problem in New York for a little bit.
Over the pandemic. So,
So I lived with a millionaire doctor for a little bit.
Okay.
In his penthouse on Times Square.
Nice.
He was just a dude who thought I was funny on an open mic. And then my girlfriend at the time kicked me out. So he told me to come live with him. Anyway, he was a traveling doctor, so he was gone like 2 weeks out of the month. So for 2 weeks out of the month, I just had a million-dollar penthouse.
All to yourself.
All to myself. And I would bring Nathan up there, and the doctor also had a hallucinogen problem. So he had always like 100 sheets in his freezer. And
I want to know this doctor's name.
I'll tell you.
Yes.
So it was like every 3 days we would trip, like fully. Yeah, it was wild. And some crazy shit happened tripping in that penthouse.
Yeah.
63 floors up looking down on Times Square tripping. It's fucking wild.
Yeah. Oh, anytime. On my building, we would go up to the roof.
Yeah.
And just look down and acid mushrooms over the pandemic.
Yeah, the pandemic.
I did so many.
There's nothing else. Sometimes we'd do the acid and then just.
Yeah. Oh, we would walk around Central Park. We would go on adventures.
Central or sometimes.
Well, for some, I don't. Yes. I never felt in danger in New York. I feel, I guess, more threatened here than I did in New York.
The homeless people are definitely more there.
Yeah, it's definitely a different, because even when I lived in L.A. and I lived in Hollywood for a year when I first moved in L.A., like I befriended this homeless guy, like him and I were buddies, our dogs got along and shit. We smoke weed together. And all the other homeless people didn't fuck with me because, like, I was his friend. So I always try to make friends with a homeless
person. Right. There are some local homeless people in New York. So the thing about if you're homeless in New York, you still are a New Yorker. And there's, like, a code that goes with being a New Yorker. Like, you look out for each other. So unless you're mentally ill, like, I would see some things. But for the most part, you just ignore it. And maybe that's what the difference is here. People don't ignore it.
It's hard for the, well, because there's not as many people here. There's 800,000 people here in New York. There is 11 million people in that city. So just after a while, you just tune out stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess maybe that's what it is. Cause in New York, people go crazy and you just walk on.
Yeah. You're just like, oh,
someone's in danger.
Yeah.
But here, no, it's like a spectacle.
Yeah, people actually like stop and like, what's going on?
People act more crazy when they know people are watching.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. You can't feed that kind of energy. A lot of times that's what those people want. They want, you know, they want your attention. So a lot of times you just can't look. There's a couple of times as most women who live in the city experience, like that New Yorker moment where there's a dude like sitting across from you on the train jacking off.
Yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw so many homeless dicks.
Oh my god, the amount of penises that you see.
Sometimes I'm just like, hey man, nice hug.
Thanks for sharing.
I'd whip it out too if it looks like that.
I've only had to pull out my knife once out of the 10 years that I lived there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got mugged once. I got robbed. And that was kind of. It was honestly, I'll say, it was kind of my fault.
Victim blaming.
I just did a show at Eastville Comedy Club, and I lived in Harlem.
Okay.
Washington Heights. So
that
there was a train that went all the way up, but it took a while.
Yeah.
And it's 4 a.m, and I'm drunk, and I pass out on the train, and I miss my stop by like 40 blocks. And so I have two options. I can wait half an hour for the next train to come down, or I can walk for 25 minutes.
And in New York, I would do the walk. A lot of times I'd do the walk.
But the thing is, I was in Upper Harlem, you know? And I lived in that neighborhood, you know, Washington Heights. I lived there for a while. Like And I'm a big guy. I'm not usually scared. So I get about 10 blocks from the station. It's 4 a.m. And these two kids, they're like, hey, man, give me some money. And I'm drunk, and I say, hey, go fuck yourself. And then they hop off the stoop and pull out a gun. Uh-huh. And here's the thing. I lived in St. Louis for a while. I've had plenty of guns pulled on me.
Yeah.
You don't. This is stupid, by the way. If someone pulls a gun, just do what they say.
Yeah.
But
But do as I say, not as I do.
But me, I always like to just call them pussies.
100%.
I'm like, what, are you going to shoot me over my fucking, the $20 I have, dude? No, you're not going to shoot me.
Yeah.
There's two of you, put the gun down, and if you beat me up, you can have it. They didn't like that.
Were they like young kids?
Yeah, they were like, 17, 18.
Oh, yes.
And I'm like, dude, you're going to throw your whole fucking life away? Anyways,
yeah.
They didn't back down. They kept the gun in my face, so I just tossed my shit and walked off and called a pussy.
Yeah, definitely don't do that. I've turned around before. Like, dudes have been following me.
Yeah.
Like, walking, like, following me, one dude.
They don't expect you to react most of the time.
Oh, no, no. Well, they feed off the fear. Guys like that, when they're following women like that, they feed off the fear. And every time I just turn around and ask them, can I help them? And every time they run off because they are not used to that. Like, you have to acknowledge that they're there.
You just have to recognize crazy, though. That's the kind of thing. Like, what I did is because I knew these were just two young kids who were fucking up.
Yeah.
But when someone's crazy, you do what they say.
Because they will.
They will fucking pull.
I think it's in the eyes. I've always.
Exactly. You have to read it. Yeah.
It's in the eyes. You have to be able to look in someone's eyes and be like, are they actually going to do it? Or.
Yeah, exactly.
I've always. I like to out crazy the crazy sometimes. I've had to do that before. And.
I stay relatively calm, and that usually freaks people out. When
calmness does it.
So, I mean, if this podcast is about drugs, yeah, I would do a lot of, like, desperate, I'm just looking for drugs, so I'm talking to homeless people on the street. They're taking me to their guy.
Yeah.
And it's situations where I'm definitely in a dangerous situation, but you got to stay cool.
So yeah.
The guy's like, he's like, all right, I got to run up, give me your money. I got to be like, hey, man, I'm giving you this money. I'm not a tourist. I live here. I will
find you.
We're going to make this deal, right? And it usually worked out for me.
Yeah.
Because people don't expect that. They want you to be scared. So when you're not, they're like, all right, this guy's cool. This guy's chill. I'm going to get him his shit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's also if you live here, the live here factor.
The live here thing is big because, people, you know, when you're walking around like that, they usually assume you're a tourist. I'm like, no, I'm not a tourist. I live right here.
So yeah.
We'll see you.
Yeah. Buying drugs on McDougal Street was always like that. I miss McDougal so much. For those who don't know, McDougal is basically called a comedy alley.
There's the Pear, the Cellar.
Yeah. The Lantern or comedy shop, whatever.
Shop.
They keep changing the fucking name. Greenwich Village. There's just a bunch of all the comedy clubs are there. But there'll be dudes, because a lot of tourists go there, that just yell out coke, weed, Molly.
Oh, I've got a story about that. This is about drug stories.
Yeah.
So I did a show at Greenwich, and I walk out, and this guy's just he's walking by, and he's just being like, he's like whispering shit, you know? I'm like, hey, I don't need any now, but I hang out here a lot, so let me get your number.
Mm-hmm.
So when I am here next time, I'll hit you up. And so like 2 days later, I hit him up because I'm like, I know a guy. We're looking for some. None of our guys are hitting us up.
Yeah.
I'm like, let me hit this guy up. And we're like a few bucks off McDougal, but actually we're at Joey Bats. Remember?
My God. Yeah.
So he comes to Joey Bats and he gives me dog shit, like terrible. It's not even.
Yeah.
But he just walks away and I don't even check it, which I should have. But when I do, I'm like, oh, this is bullshit. So I'm like, no, we're going to McDougal. I know this guy. I know he walks the streets. We're going to McDougal. I'm going to talk to him. And so we're hanging out outside the Pear. Because I don't see him. And then I'm like, no, I'm just post up here. He's going to walk by. And sure enough, he walks by. I'm like, hey, I need $100 or
better shit.
Better shit or I'm beating you up. And his boss, this little.
Oh, yeah. No. There's a high
hanging out. His boss is nearby. He sees and he comes up. He's like, yo, what's going on? I'm like, your boy here sold me some bad shit. So I either need money or I'm fucking your boy. And the boss reaches into his pocket and he hands me some good shit.
Yeah.
And then he yells at the fucking one dude. He's
like, not to the regular.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, that was buying drugs on McDougal.
Yeah, you have to. I had a guy, and he would text me. He's like, "Oh, I got shit," because I would buy Molly from him every once in a while, and I'm just like, "Bro, no." I'm like, I don't do this shit all of the time, but yeah, if you're there a lot, if you live there, and you know, you will get better drugs than if you're a tourist from those guys, because you're a regular customer to them.
Yeah, exactly, and you are gonna see each other. Like, New York's big. But it is small.
Yeah.
If you have the hangouts, then you're gonna see each other.
Yeah, if you hang out in certain neighborhoods, you are definitely going to see the same people.
You know what? He gave me Molly as a sorry. He gave me coke and then gave me a little bit of Molly because he's like, sorry.
That's nice.
And I popped it right there in front of the Perry. And an ambulance showed up.
And you're like, oh, not yet.
The lights were blinking.
Oh.
And I'm rolling.
Yeah.
And there's some good ass music going. And I'm just getting down on McDougal, on Molly. I'm dancing, synchronized with the ambulance lights. It was awesome. I had some good times there. I miss New York. I do.
I miss New York. I miss New York a tremendous amount. McDougal Street, the amount of partying I have done at the... Actually, every bar pretty much on that street. I lived there for 10 years, and there was one bar that I used to hang out at in Midtown called Rosie O'Grady's, and it was the first bar I ever went to when I first came to this city, and I just became friends with the bartenders. But I realized that, like, I never went and hung out at other bars unless they were within walking distance of a comedy club.
Right, yes. Like, my usual hangout was down. There was Old Man Hustle.
Yeah.
They had the one in Brooklyn, but they had the small one in the Lower East Side. And yeah, so it was like I was hanging out there or around the other Old Man Hustle.
The other one.
Was that Bleecker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So those were the places I usually hung out if I wasn't at McDougal or something.
I was always, before they...
Clockwork. Crazy punk rock bar.
I do like, what was it called? Nose, which was down in the Lower East Side. I used to hang out at like Joey Rose's place, the sandwich shop. I would hang out there.
Yeah, so that was near like Old Man. There's bar 169.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple that I went to, but I was always at Fat Black Pussycat before they turned it into the club or the Pear or the Stand.
Right.
I was always at those places.
I guess I got more into the Old Man Hustle, like Legion of Skanks crowd, and they would play at that club a lot.
Yeah.
So that's where I usually hang out, in Williamsburg. You get good drugs in Williamsburg, I will say.
Brooklyn did have good drugs.
Jim is just hipsters there.
Yeah, Brooklyn, especially Williamsburg. I feel like I call my area where I live in Austin the Hoboken. Because I'm like across the river from the city.
People don't really go across the river unless they have to.
This neighborhood is actually really nice, though. I have a bunch of like food trucks and stuff.
Yeah, no, this is a nice spot. I work across the river, actually not too far from here.
Yeah. Well, I think there's...
I guess after all these stories, I shouldn't say where I work, but yeah.
Yeah.
Motorcycle.
We call it a river because we know that it's just the Colorado River, like,
yeah,
dammed off. But they call it lake here. They're all lake.
Lake Austin, yeah.
Yeah, Lady Bird Lake. It's just
looking for some good fishing.
I'll go fishing.
Yeah?
Yeah, there's Lady Bird Lake. We've hung out there a couple of times. There's places to fish there. I want to go to the hot springs here. They have hot springs.
So what I did... When I went back home to Illinois,
yeah,
I really wanted to separate myself from the partying.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of camping out in the woods and
nature
deer
stuff.
Hunting. And I would, to save money to move to Austin, I would hunt rabbits.
Okay.
Once a week. And then that was my food for the week.
Okay.
And do a lot of fishing stuff, really reconnect with the outdoors. So I want to find some good fishing out here, you know, save some money.
Yeah, it's also, and it's good for your mental health and stuff like that. That's very good. I've been, I do stuff like I bake my own bread.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I've been.
A bread oven, or you do it?
Like the whole little bread maker thing. No, I have, like, I have a really cool bread pan, so it looks just like kind of store-bought. And yeah, no, I've been cooking up a storm here. I'm not like a chef, but I'm definitely like, I made beef bourguignon.
Okay.
I made that. Yes, I'm very good.
I'm good with wild game.
Wild game. Yeah.
Deer, like fish. I make a mean rabbit stew. But I grew up in.
Oh no, I've had all of that. I can eat like venison jerky.
I make
do that. Fish. I do fish, but some of it, it tastes too gamey. I've had like turtle. I've had. I've had squirrel.
I had some squirrel like 2 months ago. Shit's delicious. There's certain, you gotta know how to cook certain things. Like a rabbit, there's no fat on it, so you gotta throw in like some cream of mushroom. Deer has no fat on it, so when you make a deer burger, you gotta throw some like cheese in it, or a little bit of pork, which I don't like to do, but the cheese will hold it together.
See, I'm learning so much. I've been doing this kind of like cooking show for my subscribers on Instagram.
We got to bring some wild game in here.
We could do it. We'll do a double thing, and you could try to make me eat some venison.
I have some. I drove a big ass cooler down here with a bunch of meat.
Doesn't surprise. I have. Do you want some pork broth?
We'll talk about it.
Okay. I have so much pork broth. From Christmas. Anyways, all right, we're getting off topic.
No, I think that was that led perfectly into drugs. That's why I did that, to avoid drugs.
To avoid drugs, nature. I do like that there's more nature here, actually. I've noticed I've been in a much, not a better mood, but a different kind of mood.
I'm trying to find some old widow with a bunch of land who's let me shoot some hogs out here, because there's...
You can shoot hogs?
There's big wild hog population out here, and they're a lot of fun to shoot, and...
Do you have guns? Well, I guess in Illinois, here, you could probably just bring them, right, and just transfer them over?
You know, you can have them if you have a Texas license, because in Illinois, you have to have a FOID card. You don't have to have one here.
Yeah.
So once I have my Texas license, then I will be able to bring my guns here. But I do have my bow here.
Okay. You could use your bow.
So I can use my bow. But I just need to find some lady with a lot of land I can...
We're putting this out there so you can...
Look, I'm still young. And if you have a lot of land out there, I'm 29. That's still young. No. I look like shit, but I am 29.
I knew that you were young because we have a mutual friend, Chris.
Has been, yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Chris. I've known him. He interviewed me when I was a porn star. Like that is.
He did radio.
Yeah, that is how long I have known Chris.
He was my boss when I was a sketchy broker in New York selling the worst predatory loans.
That's why he's so good.
Do the bat work environment with Chris. We're getting off topic, but yo, have you seen Wolf of Wall Street? It's exactly
like that. Oh no, I seen like the way he dresses now and everything. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, we were making money selling MCAs and
I don't even know what
$50,000 loans at a 30% interest rate. You got to pay it back in 6 months. But we were making money.
But you were making money. Hey, capitalism.
Yeah. Oh, and the drugs that were used in that office.
Oh, I can only.
There was one dude who he would go to the bathroom and just get high as fuck on whatever. It was heroin, coke. But he was the best fucking salesman I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, he's sweating at his desk, just closing deals, making 50 grand a month. But
he's got to keep up that habit.
He's causing so many problems in the office that the owners were like, you're too good of a salesman to fire. So just work from home from now on. And then the dude still just works from home making $50,000 a month.
Oh,
just doing drugs at home.
And then he could just do drugs at home. Honestly, that's kind of the dream for some people.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't good at it because I have a conscience, but
yeah. Did you feel a lot of guilt and shame while you were using it?
Yeah. I'm like,
they're
like, I need this loan to keep my business open. I'm like, you're not going to be able to pay this loan back.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyway, that's why I went back to selling motorcycles.
That's good, honest work. And I like motorcycles. I'm very excited for you to bring your.
I'm going to do that in the next few weeks. I got to go fly back to Illinois, and then I'm going to ride 1,300 miles.
I've done that.
I've done it a couple times.
Yeah, no, that's a solid ride. That's awesome. Yeah, when you said that, I was like, ooh, because I've been, like, for the 30 seconds I was on Tinder, I was looking at dudes who had bikes.
I got a couple bike pics on my Tinder. It also says I'm 36 on my Tinder because I look like a bad 29, but I look like a hardworking 36. You see me on there. I'm 36.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. I think you look fine. 29 is because you're tall. It's because, and automatically that just goes with like age and emotional maturity.
I wore my hairline.
Well, you've worn a hat.
I know.
I don't remember. Someone on Twitter actually said that my hair was thinning, and I'm like, is it? I've been taking these supplements, and I have all this new growth, and I'm like, ha, fuck you, buddy.
It's a widow speak, guys. I'm not.
That's what I would have, too. That's what I would have, too. I could hook you up with the supplements and all the stuff that I'm using to make my hair grow. Yeah.
I used to do a hair mask in New York.
Yeah, red light therapy. I have one of those. Oh, I do all the things. That's what I'm doing tonight. Yeah, because my skin broke out when I was in Florida. I'm like, I need to get the Florida.
I was trying really hard to save my hairline for a little bit in New York, and then I decided, fuck it. I just let it go, you know, whatever.
Let it grow out. You are not the first person to be losing it up top and then grow it out. I know quite a few.
Yeah, I just wish I could grow a beard. I can't grow a beard.
I could probably grow a bigger beard than you. At 45, yeah. I am decades older than you.
Yeah.
Actual decades older than you. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Sure, thanks for having me.
This was super fun. Do you tell people your socials? I'm not sure when it's going to be out, so maybe not shows, but if you have social.
I'm at HinderLoser on Instagram. And yeah, just follow me there. I'm here in Austin doing shows, so or I'll probably be going back to Illinois here soon to do shows there. So
there we go.
At HinderLoser.
HinderLoser. All right. Obviously you can find this wonderful show at How to Do Drugs Pod on Twitter and Instagram. And then not YouTube. I stopped doing I used to have this like memorized, like Apple, Spotify, Stitcher.
Probably good.
I have cameras on the outside.
I don't know what that means.
What?
My apartment. No,
yeah.
Okay, for the podcast. But yeah, let's do a security camera podcast.
Actually, I have a great video of my best friend. And this is how you know that someone is, you're like just tired. We've been friends for over 20 years. I've been kind of celibate over the past year, and I decided to hook up with this guy when she was here. And there's a video of her peeing outside because she didn't want to interrupt us.
Good friend.
And that's a fucking diehard friend. Check out Stephanie Brandel at Heart and Soul Tattoo in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. You guys, she's an amazing tattoo artist and also my best friend who will pee outside so I could get some booty. You can find me, the Aaliyah Janine, on Twitter, Aaliyah.Janine on Instagram. And my website, I'm doing a couple of festivals, and that's that. Okay, bye.